أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تأكلوا أموالكم بينكم بالباطل إلا أن تكون تجارة عن تراض منكم، ولا تقتلوا أنفسكم إن الله كان بكم رحيما، ومن يفعل ذلك عدوانا وظلما فسوف نصليه نارا، وكان ذلك على الله يسيرا. All who believe, not eat up your property unjustly, but let there be trade with mutual consent, and do not kill yourselves, for Allah Ta'ala is most merciful towards you. And whoever does so with transgression and injustice, then soon will we enter him into Jahannam, into a fire. And this is very easy and simple for Allah Ta'ala. When the word akal is used, eat is used, generally it refers to using or spending. So do not spend your wealth unjustly. What is injustice and what is trade with mutual consent will obviously be explained by Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. If it's left to our discretion, then we will say that gambling also is permissible and it's like a permissible trade. And interest and usury also is a type of a trade. So all the explanations and the details of injustice and trade with mutual consent will be explained by Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. So the first prohibition is trading unjustly. Trading unjustly will refer to either or spending the wealth unjustly will refer to the type of spending that is wasting, or spending for show and ostentation, or spending in a cause that is not valid. So this is the first prohibition, that do not use up your wealth, do not spend your wealth unjustly. These two or three things, one is show, ostentation, and wasting of wealth. All this stems from one simple thing, that is greed. And greed is the catalyst for most of these sins. Because when one is obsessed with greed, then he is blinded. He cannot see right from wrong. He cannot see halal from haram, halal from haram. He cannot see his rights from the rights of others. So this weakness of greed blinds the person and it clouds his reasoning. He cannot reason correctly. He cannot see things in perspective. The second prohibition, illa an takuna tijaratan, but let there be trade with mutual consent. So what is the meaning of trade and tijara? This is also very important to understand what is trade, so that we know how to apply this verse. Tijara would refer to mubadalatul mal bil mal, a commodity in exchange of a commodity. This is the explanation and the definition of tijara. So if there is a commodity in exchange of a commodity, then you'll call it tijara. But if it is commodity in exchange of time, then this is not called tijara. Like in interest, then it's a commodity. You're giving cash in exchange of time, not in exchange of a commodity. Person that is paying out the interest to a money lender, then he's giving that additional in exchange of time. So this is not tijarat, This is interest and usury. Then similarly, gambling will fall off because it is commodity in exchange of a thing that is uncertain. You're not certain whether you're going to get an exchange or not, whether you're going to get the same more or less, that is uncertain. So it is commodity in exchange of something that is not certain, you're not certain about. Either the event is subjected to an event that is uncertain, or it is the exchange that is uncertain. You do not know that you're going to get something in return or not. So this is called gambling. This is called qimar. Then similarly, we have commodities in exchange of rights. Like we talk about franchises, trademarks, etc., or goodwill, then it is a commodity in exchange of a right. A right is not a commodity. It isn't anything that is tangible. So this wealth is being given for what? Obviously, it's been given for something that is not tangible, something that is not in existence. So this is the third type of prohibition. The fourth type of prohibition will also apply to a commodity in exchange of something that you not own. Like, I tell you that I'm giving you this 1,000 rand for the car that you are going to buy next year. So this is no trade because the commodity is not in your control. You don't own that commodity. When you don't own that commodity, then what are you selling? It's something that is in the air. It's something that you do not, that doesn't exist. It's something that you do not own. When you do not own this, then how can you assure the client that you're going to give him this in exchange of the money that you are giving him? So this is the fourth type of prohibition, tijara. So let there be a trade with mutual consent. So it must be a trade, and the trade must be with mutual consent, mutual goodwill. So when we say mutual goodwill and mutual consent, then we need to understand that extortion will not be permissible. Similarly, a person gives in on account of circumstance, like a minor or a woman. Normally they give in their rights because of the fear of consequences. They do not want any problems with their families, so they give in their rights. So this is not with their consent and with their blessings, but it is because of the fear. Perhaps the brother will sever relationship, and on account of the fear, then they give in. So this is a type of extortion, and it is not with mutual consent. So this wealth is not blessed, it is impermissible. Then similarly, when we say mutual consent, mutual goodwill, then if any of the exchanges are ambiguous, you do not know exactly what you are getting. You're paying a cash, but the cash is an exchange of something that is ambiguous. It's not clear. Then this is also impermissible, incorrect. Like I tell you that I'm purchasing this car from you, and the price, we will talk about the price later on. So you say that you'll talk about the price later on. So the price is not confirmed, and later on perhaps you may call a higher amount, and then this will lead to dispute. There is no mutual consent because of the ambiguity. Or I tell you that I'm selling you my car, and you don't know what the car looks like, what condition, what shape the car looks like, what car it is, you do not know. You don't have details, you don't have an understanding of the car or the commodity that you are purchasing. Then this also is without consent. In other words, this consent is not valid, this consent is not recognized in the Sharia. Consent must be with goodwill, with the pleasure of both the parties. So if the one party gets to know that this is the condition of the commodity, obviously he will express his dissatisfaction, and this again will render the trade as illegitimate and invalid. So the commodity must be known. on both sides, whether the price or whether the commodity that is being purchased, the date of the payment must also be known. We'll talk about the price late on, and then you drag the client or you drag the seller, then obviously this is again against taradim minkum, mutual consent. Whether the mutual consent is there at that moment or later on he discovers that this is the condition, so he will not give his blessings, he will not be pleased with this. So the trade must be with mutual consent, and in this consent there must be no, consent will refer to trade without any type of ambiguity. So for this type of trade, then what has been promised in the hadith, what has been promised in the Quran, the hadith says that the best wealth, amalu yadi, is either that which is of your labor, a skill, a profession, your labor, a return for the good labor that you have done. So this is the best type of trade, this is the best type of wealth, or kullu mabi'in mabrurin, honest trade, either it's the work of your hand, or honest trade, this is declared to be the best type of wealth. In another hadith it is reported, At-tajiru saduqul amin, the tradesman that is truthful and that is honest. He is truthful and he is honest, then he will be raised with the anbiya, he will be raised with the high ranking awliya and the shaheeds. So you want to be grouped and paired up with them, then pay the price. Price is simple, let the trade be honest trade, let you be true in your words, whatever words you are giving, then let it be absolutely true, and let it yourself be absolutely honest. You will have to pay a price, you want to be ranked up with these great people, not having any problems in the hereafter, then pay the price. The price is this, that you be honest and be absolutely truthful. In the hadith again it says that the tradesman that is truthful, that he'll be under the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day where there will be no other shade but the shade of the throne of Allah ta'ala. And in another hadith, it is reported, the best wealth is of a tradesman, provided the tradesman conforms to these seven requirements. One is that he is truthful, he doesn't speak a lie, he is truthful, I bought this, and I bought this from this place, this is the commodity, and more or less this is the price. So he is truthful, number one. Number two, the promises that he makes, then he is truthful in the promises that he makes. He fulfills and keeps to his promises. He doesn't break the promises. Number three, he is honest in his dealings. He doesn't cheat. He's absolutely honest in his dealings. So truthfulness, fulfilling and keeping of promises, and being honest. Number four, when he sells an item, he sells a commodity, then he doesn't overpraise it. That this is like this and like this and like this. He doesn't overpraise the commodity that he's selling. And when he's purchasing something, he doesn't unnecessarily find faults in the thing that he is purchasing in order to reduce the price. Number five, number six is this, that he pays promptly also. The debts that he's got, then he pays promptly. He doesn't drag his creditors. Pays them even before the time, pays promptly. And number seven, the last is, when there are some debts that are outstanding, then he doesn't harass his debtors. Rather, he is lenient and he is considerate towards his debtors. So these are the seven conditions for which the hadith declares that person to be the best, that person to be the best tradesman, that wealth to be the best. So what a great reward, illa an takuna tijaratan an taradim minkum. Overall, in this verse, how much has been encapsulated in this small verse. Overall, what Allah Pak says to us is, don't waste that wealth. Don't use it unjustly. Whether that wealth is in your name, whether it is the wealth of the community like masjid, etc., and the things that are related to the masjid, it belongs to the community. Everybody contributes towards it. So things that belong to the community, or the wealth that is in your care, it is someone else's, but you are in control. So whatever the nature of the wealth, be it your own in your own name, or the wealth of the community, or the wealth of people that are come under your name, you have control over their property. Don't waste it. Don't use it for show and ostentation, and don't be greedy about that, so that you will be indiscriminate, you will be trampling their rights, you will be oppressing them. So be careful about this. Like you will be careful about people's wealth and property, then be careful about life as well. وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Again, the same will apply here as well. Be it your own life, or be it the life of the next person, then take care. See that you do not kill anybody. Not yourself, and not anybody else. That is, either you do not kill them, or don't do something that will incite trouble. Eventually it will lead to murder. You are gossiping, carrying tales, inciting, hurting people. You aren't careful of how you talk and how you conduct yourself. As a result, it ends up in a fight. And after that, then it ends up in murder and killing. So where did it start off? It starts off with inciting, with provoking, with carrying tales, speaking things that don't concern you, or not having the right type of approach when talking to people. As a result, you end up in a fight, then someone is hurt or killed. So Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِكُمْ رَحِيمًا. Allah Ta'ala has been always most merciful towards you. Then when He is so merciful to you, then it's disgusting that you hurt people, you hurt yourself, you hurt others, either by trade or you hurt anybody in his emotions or in his physical self. Remember, whoever does this in transgression or in out of oppression and injustice, then one is the embarrassment and the difficulty that he will go through in this life. In the next life, we will admit him into the fire. And this is very simple for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah give us tawfiq.